We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The following is a Learfield presentation of MSN.
It is a great day to be a Mountaineer, wherever you may be.
The Mountaineer Sports Network. All across the Mountain State, this is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Welcome to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Today's show is brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers. Farmer Klein and Campbell, West Virginia's injury lawyers. CEC, civil and environmental consultants, hiring West Virginia Virginians to do West Virginia's work. CECINC.com. That's CECINC.com. In addition to Coach Brown's weekly comments, we'll hear from West Virginia assistant coaches and key Mountaineer players. Now let's talk Mountaineer football and head live to the Pushcar Center in Morgantown. Alongside the Wolfman, Dale Wolfley, here's your host, Dan Zangrilli.
And hi again, everybody. We welcome you to coverage of West Virginia and Baylor coming up on Saturday afternoon in Waco as the Mountaineers looking to get back into the swing of things after a tough one this past Saturday afternoon to Texas Tech. Meanwhile, Baylor is 4-1 and 2-1 in Big 12 play. They, of course, lost a tough one in Stillwater, a top 20 defeat to Oklahoma State. Dan Zangrilli and Dale Wolfley, glad to have you along. Coming up on the program, Neil Brown is just a few minutes away. I'm sure he's going to look back on what was a just tough defeat and a frustrating one as well, and give us the postmortem on that while looking at Dave Aranda's club, Dale Wolfley, that was 2-7 a year ago. Yep. But Baylor is obviously a team that has a marquee win here against Iowa State. They gave Oklahoma State, particularly in the first half, everything that they could see. This is a team that's faring much better than they did in 2020 when they were 2-7 in Aranda's first year.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'm watching film, and I'm telling you that they will play tough defense. They'll play tough offense. But they are beatable as well, Dan. So I know they gave Oklahoma State their down to the end of the fourth quarter, it was 2 points, and they fought them tough, and they certainly did take care of business with Iowa State. But, you know, this is a team that can be beat, and if the Mountaineers go out and play as they can for four quarters, then it can be attainable for them.
So they return a bunch of players defensively, mm-hmm. particularly 22 on defense. They've now got an opportunity, a full offseason, to implement an entirely different offense. Jeff Grimes, when he was coming in from BYU, the COVID year really put the Bears behind. So they are finally able to click on all cylinders. They don't have Charlie Brewer anymore. He surprises a lot of folks, and he goes to Utah. So Gary Bohannon is now at quarterback. All right, so that's the quick look at Baylor. More on that with Neil coming up a little bit later on. Plus, we're going to chat with Travis Trickett. Mike O'Loughlin, the tight end, was really big in the Saturday game for West Virginia against the Red Raiders. Now, Wolf, we've had an opportunity to take a look back on that Texas Tech game, dissect the film. I'm sure that first half is something that's going to stick in the craw here and hopefully be used as motivation for a big one coming up in Waco.
Well, I've always seen a Neil Brown team respond when there's been controversy, so I suspect that they're going to go out and do the best they can in Waco Saturday. Looking back at the game film, you said it was frustrating, Danny, and, you know, critical mistakes at critical times, not winning those critical moments, and that's exactly where they're at. And I will say, to what we were talking about in the postgame, it goes up there. We need some leaders now to step up. And they are young. There's no doubt about it. But you still got to have leadership when you got to have leadership to get it done.
West Virginia is 6-3 all time against Baylor. However, in Waco, 1-3 last time we were there. Boy, did we put on a showing, particularly Darius Stills, that we can remember Matt Rhule in that year, in which he led the Bears to a Big 12 championship game appearance. He was just fawning over West Virginia's defensive front. Let's hope we can put together a performance similar to that we did a couple of years ago on Halloween night 2019. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, we'll hear from head coach Neil Brown, and then again Travis Trickett and Mike O'Loughlin coming up a little bit later on. Here on the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, we're with you until 1 o'clock, and it's all brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Injured in a car wreck? The last thing you should worry about is how much it's going to cost you to fight the insurance company. Call 800-687-5990. Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. It costs you nothing out of pocket, and we don't get paid unless you do. We know about the money the insurance companies won't tell you about. We could get you more. Injured in a car wreck? It costs you nothing out of pocket. Nothing. Call Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. 800-687-5990. Around here, you matter.
You're listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers. Now it's time to hear from head coach Neil Brown.
Hobbs, in every game this season, we've played really good football in all three phases. I think you can go back and look at different times where we played well, but we've not put a whole game together, and I haven't been reading what y'all been writing, but I'm assuming y'all are talking about that, and rightfully so, is we've yet to put a whole game together, and it's frustrating. You know, our fans are frustrated, and I get it. Nobody's more frustrated than me, and our first half versus Texas Tech was inexcusable. I can't reason it. We competed in the second half, thought we played well. At times, offensively, played really well. Defensively, our first two series in the second half are what we're looking for. That's how we need to play defensive football here. But we didn't finish. We didn't finish very well. And so just wrapping up the Texas Tech game, special teams, we only punted twice. One of them we were able to – we did a pretty nice job. The second one, we had an opportunity to pin them inside the 5 or inside the 10, and we didn't. Our kickoff coverage was really good. Proud of our kickoff unit. You know, especially on the last kickoff of the game. You know, I think that drive started on the 14 or 15, but our kickoff coverage was solid. I thought Staley did a nice job kicking off. Casey Lay continues to perform well. Our field goal protection was good. Kickoff return hurt us really for the second week in a row. We've had a penalty each of the last 2 weeks that we've had to start drives inside the 10 or 12 yard line. Defensively, first half wise, we just did not do a very good job with their shifts and motions. We misaligned. We didn't tear off blocks. Very similar. That first half was very, very similar to the first half at Maryland, really, which was disappointing. Missed too many tackles. I thought we played good enough to win defense on the defensive line. You know, that's the biggest difference between the Maryland game. Maryland game, we didn't play very well D-line wise in the first half. This week, we really were pretty consistent up front. You know, I thought our D-line played well. We just didn't play good enough at the second or third level to win the game. I thought these guys on defense played well. Dante Steele's 2 weeks in a row has played at a high level. Keem Messidor has really played well all season. And then Taj Austin, back-to-back weeks, played really well. Those are the guys defensively. Offensively, in the first half, just lack of execution. And those execution errors kind of plagued us in the red zone where we had to settle for field goals in the second half too. You know, we've got to be a more detail-oriented group. And there's a small margin for error. And when we don't do the details right, then you know, we're killing ourselves in the red zone or are not putting ourselves in positions, notably third and long, like we were in the first half. I thought played well. I thought Zach Frazier played really well, and he's been consistent. He's been our most consistent offensive player all year. You know, Daigie played his best half of football. The second half was really, really good. You know, I thought his numbers overall were good. And then Isaiah Esdell and Winston Wright both performed well at receiver. And then Michael Loffins played well 2 weeks in a row. You know, he played really well on Saturday. So excited about him. But like I said at the start, you know, we're a 2-3 football team and we lack consistency and we've got to play better and do so for a full game, you know, because in our league, you know, these games are going to come down to the fourth quarter and we've been tied or ahead in the fourth quarter of our three losses and didn't get it done. And so we've got to get those things fixed, you know, all things. You know, we'll switch up some things we're doing in practice, try to emphasize and finishing practices better. But we've got to do that because the games in our league, like I said, they're going to come down to the fourth quarter. And moving on to Baylor, 4-1, they're coming off a close loss to Oklahoma State, as you know. I think, and I'll say this, I've got a lot of respect for Dave Aranda and his staff, and I think they've done a great job. I thought they unfairly – got some flack last year. They a ton of guys lost off that really Matt Rhule's last team in 19 and the pandemic. And I just remember somebody asking me at media days about them. And I think they've done a really good job this year. Offensively, new OC and Jeff Grimes coming over from Baylor, longtime offensive line coach, very well thought of through inside the profession. They've turned into 11 and 12 personnel team. They want to run the ball. I think the running backs are both playing well. They've got two. I think they complement each other. They got big play threats on the outside. Guys that run really, really well. And the Bohannon, he's playing well. He's taking care of the football. You know, I think that's – they're not turning it over and they're running the football. Defensively, you know, both Dave Aranda and Ron Roberts, their defensive coordinator, really good defensive mind. They're multiple in what they do schematically. A lot of pressures. I think they have two of the best defenders in our league. I know. And if you're not playing against them, they're really fun to watch. You know, eight, Petrie, he's special, flies to the ball. He's around the ball carrier all the time. And same with Bernard, the linebacker, number two. I mean, those two guys, like I said, if you're not playing against them, they're fun to watch. You know, worth the price of admission. I think they play the game the way it's supposed to be played at all times, and they played really well against us last year. And defensively, they're the group that has a lot of team speed. Special teams, I feel like I say this every week, but it's accurate with the teams we played so far, is they've got really good specialists. I think the kickoff guys kicked it out on touchbacks 29 of 33 times, and that's a huge advantage. Their punter has done a really nice job with hang time. And Ebner as the returner, both punt returner and kickoff returner, he's one of the best kickoff returners in our conference over the last 3 years. You know, he's special. He's got multiple kickoff returns each of the last three seasons. So he's a guy who can take a distance. So it's a huge challenge for our coverage units. So that's kind of the preview on Baylor. With that, I'll take questions.
So, Neil, with the consistency aspect, your run game hasn't had as much consistency as I'm sure you want. Do you see opportunities to improve that this year, or is it just a long-term fix?
No, I think that we've got to be better detail-oriented. I think at times when we've done what we've needed to do from a run game footwork standpoint and how we're IDing that, we've had success. We haven't been consistent enough with our footwork. Our run reads have not been as good as they need to be. I think early in the year, not having Mike at tight end did hurt us. Since he's been back, he's blocked the edge much better. And then when Garrett's in the game, he's got to read it, and miss several of those in the drive he had in the first half. So I think it's a combination of everybody, but it goes back to these details in the footwork, all right, where our eyes are supposed to be, and then and doing that on a consistent basis. Can we run the football better than what we have? Yes. I think if we're detail-oriented and we do a better job with our footwork, yes, I think we can run the football. I'm not destined to that we can't do it.
Bernard, how do you plan? You didn't play against Oklahoma State. Plan for him to be in there?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And listen to what Dave said. That's what he's – I think for 2 weeks now he's saying he's going to play against us. So I don't know any reason he wouldn't. From my understanding, he had some kind of minor procedure done last week, missed the game. As far as planning for him, we've got to do a really good job. He's fast, as fast as any linebacker. He does a really good job running things down. They blitz him, quite a bit, and he does a great job in that aspect, not only from the edge but interior as well. And he's a playmaker, we've got to account for where he's at. And he's going to make plays. He's going to make tackles. We just got to make sure those aren't tackles for losses.
You talked a lot about starting with energy, and obviously it wasn't there this past week. Mm-hmm. Anything from a coaching standpoint? I mean, you sound like you felt you had it.
Well, here's my whole thing. It's like I'm so pissed about how we played at the beginning of the game, because in other sports I kind of understand. You got all these games in other sports. In football, you get 12. Like, how the hell you not get ready to play one game a week? I don't get it. But it hadn't been an issue. We started fast every game, but this one offensively, defensively not as fast. Did a good job early. Against Virginia Tech, but other than that, we struggled on the first drive. So we're going to switch up some things. I think that you got to acknowledge it's an issue. So it's been an issue for us more so defensively than offensively. But offensively, it was a terrible start the other night or other day. So you got to acknowledge it. It's no different than in the fourth quarter. We played really, really good football in the second and third quarters, other than offensively in the third quarter against Maryland. But we got to start better defensively, and we got to finish on both sides better in the fourth quarter. So you got to acknowledge the issue, then you got to go to work fixing it. And we'll be creative, and some things we're going to change up and how we're going to practice today and tomorrow.
Neil, this might kind of piggyback a little bit, but offensively on the range of on one end where kind of continue what you're doing, practice, improve, learn, improve, and the other end being you have a sample size for this season, last season, however long, maybe to change results, you have to change what you're doing. Where do you fall in between there?
It's a good question, Mike. I think that everything you do is based on what your offensive line, your quarterbacks are capable of doing. And you got to put them in really good positions. I think schematically everything we're doing is sound. I think that we're not asking our guys. I think if you ask me, like, what's a well-coached unit look like, all right, or a group that's prepared going into a game, you're not asking your players to do something they can't do. So I feel confident that in all three phases, we're not asking our players to go out and execute something they can't do. Are we built right now to go outscore everybody in our league? We're not. And I talked about that a little bit after the Oklahoma game. Would we like to be more explosive? Absolutely. Do we have some limitations that we got to overcome? Yeah, but I think a lot of teams do. I think if you go back and watch us, like, what was the difference when we went up and down the field all four possessions in the second half, you know, compared to the first half? Well, all right. Well, the first thing is we were much more aggressive as far as from a player standpoint, okay, and meaning that we had more energy, we competed harder, but also we executed the fundamentals of the play better, and we made some plays. Does that make sense? Like Winston won on a big crossing route on 3rd and 11 was a great man route. Deggy had a couple where he scrambled on a couple where he got pressure, and one of them he got 6, and one of them he got 11. You know what I mean? Like, so we did some better jobs making plays, but right now we're built. Most of the time we play good defense. We've got to be able to run the ball better, and then we've got to be efficient with our pass game. You know, and the biggest thing is you can't turn the ball over. You know, the one turnover of the day was 7 points. That ended up being a difference in the game.
So, what you're doing,
I would say content. Hell, we ain't winning. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
but like what you bring into every game, you said you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, like if you go back and look at it, like we've got, you know, we get guys open. You know, we've got guys in the run game. We get one-on-one with safeties. You know, I think from a schematic standpoint, what we're doing sound. Can we always do better? Yeah, I mean, like, trust me, I'd love to come in here and say, man, you know, hey, we got to do this, this, and this. But what we're doing schematically sound, we've got to do a better job executing. You know, I think that the one area that we could evaluate, you know, in which we are, is we got to do a better job in second, when we get in second and longs down in the red zone, because that's what's got us. Like, if you look at it the other day when we had the two we had to kick field goals on, you know, we got 2nd and 6, got a procedure penalty, now it's 2nd and 11. Like, how do we get that 2nd and 11 into a better 3rd and manageable than we did? You know, those are the kind of, like, minute things that maybe doesn't catch the big headlines or whatever, but those are the little plays that make a huge difference. You know, how do you get that to 3rd and 4 rather than being at 3rd and 11? Then you're going to struggle once you're down inside the 20-yard line.
When problems have occurred with the play clock, with getting, you know, plays off, people in, a couple of the ones you mentioned
last,
have you looked at those? Is it one thing that's causing it, or is it something different every time?
No. Have we had that issue any time other than Saturday, Kevin?
I mean, I'm thinking a couple times over the past couple of years. Maybe it's not huge.
I think it was. I mean, I think it's the, like, we had two instances where we had offensive timeouts on Saturday, which should never occur. And I think if you go back and look at the history, 7 years doing this, like, we traditionally never use our timeouts on offense. So we had to use two the other day. The one was a total, we just had a MA on the one where we're on the last drive, right? We came out of our little sugar huddle. That was an MA. Like, guy just, he forgot what to do. All right. No excuse on that. The first one was totally my fault. Like, the way we're doing this is, like, I basically got a script for Garrett, and then we got a play bank for Garrett, and we got a play bank for Deggy. And, like, I had the wrong one. Like, I put Garrett in, and it was, like, it's totally my fault. You know what I mean? And so those were the two that we did the other day. The Oklahoma game, I know we had to use one. I was trying to eat up some clock and let it get too low. But those were the two from Saturday.
You've been good with your communication process there from box to field.
Yeah, we're not having – like I said, the one – we just had an MA, and then the other one was on me. Like, I had Garrett in the game, but I called Deggy play for Garrett, which is not – that's on me. It's a little bit longer story, but it's definitely my fault.
Expound upon O'Loughlin. You talked about him a little bit there, but what he's meant, just his growth in general over your time here?
Yeah, man. He is at the last 2 weeks, we've asked a lot out of him against Oklahoma. You know, he had to block and pass protect Benita in several one-on-one situations. And I thought he did a really nice job competing. I'm not saying he won all those battles, but he didn't lose very many. You know, there's a bunch of ties in there, and that's good. when you're talking about an early first round draft pick. So, and this week I thought he was dominant at times run blocking, you know, and for you all that watch a bunch of video and stuff, go back and watch. I thought he played really physical. He was active in the pass game, which the better your tight ends block, the easier it is to get them the ball. But he has. And I think the thing that's really encouraging about that, and I think I said this last week, is he didn't practice all fall camp. So he really just started practicing Virginia Tech week. And so I think there's still a bunch of improvement there as we get through the year.
This is kind of a general question, not necessarily on Hines' team. Something I've always wanted to ask. So we're in an analytical age now. You look at statistics, you normally average 8 to 10 yards per pass attempt. You normally average running about 4 yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. Yet you have got 50-50 pretty much on how many times you run. Why does it not the yardage on passing reflect it to the way the plays are called, like 55 passes to 20 runs rather than that?
So you're asking like the per attempt on each side?
It seems like there's more yardage to be gained in throwing the ball than there is in running.
Yeah, there is.
You and most coaches, we'll try to split it even.
Yeah, we're probably like, we're almost like 55, 45, 60, 40. And I think some of them are just kind of pass to run right now. So it goes back to the, you know, this is the way it's all, you know, when you run the football, you know, there's less bad things that can happen. You know, when you throw it, I mean, but you're right. If you go back and look at throwing the football, is you're going to get more yards per attempt. You know, and our yards per attempt was good the other day. You know, that's the best we had. And we did a better job running after the catch and things like that. But we're not necessarily looking for balance. We got to, you know, for us, we've got to do a better job of manipulating the extra hitters and using some run action pass stuff. And at the same time, you know, when we talk about just distribution, not necessarily run pass, but we've got to get like our wideouts, like, better distributed is a better way to say that, I guess. Sorry about that, Kentuckian coming out. We got to get more of our wideouts involved.
What he's asking, when you look at a box score after the game, what's the first stat you look at?
It's changed because, like, the rules have changed. Like, that's why, like, offensively, like, and that's probably what you're asking. Like, so offensively, like, for whatever reason, we just haven't had very many possessions this year, right? And so you really got to look at efficiency. You know, back in the day where you could – the rules of the game were a little bit different, and you were getting 13 to 15 possessions in a game, you know, how many first downs you got, you know, how what total offense, all that kind of stuff, it had a lot more. Now, for whatever reason, okay, we're adding that 8 to 10. You know what I mean? Like, we had I think 8 real possessions the other night, you know, the afternoon. And you're talking about – yeah, so, I mean, you start thinking about it, you know, on paper, if you go, okay, you're going to score on 50% of your drives, okay. Well, you used to think 14, well, that's 7 drives, and that's pretty productive, right? Well, now you're in that 8 to 10. Well, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, that's pretty good. But it's not good enough if you're scoring field goals, right? The way the game, you know, so it's different. So now, you know, I'm really looking at yards per attempt. I want to know that. I think that's a telltale. Your third down percentage and our fourth down, because we go forward on fourth down a good bit. So those two, and I look at third and fourth down together. I don't necessarily look at just – I look at end of series opportunities, right? So if you go forward on fourth down, the fourth down's the end of series. So those are the things. And then I always look at our punt. Like, you know, how many punt return yards? Because we're trying to create fair catches, you know.
So the new offensive coordinator for them, it's quarterback's different, but it's kind of similar BYU stuff, especially with the formations and,
yeah,
I guess what you would call misdirection, maybe. How do they get into that? And so often, because I'm guessing they want to take it away, but they still do it. And
well,
then how do you
I think that, you know, offensively, what the goal is simple for you, hard for them, and they've done a great job of that. And what I mean is they're primarily focused on being an outside zone team. And so they've done a nice job with that. They've stayed consistent with that. They give you a bunch of different looks, a bunch of different surfaces, you know, whether they run it to a tackle or a tight end or two tight ends. So a bunch of different surfaces. They do a bunch of pre-snap motions and shifts, which I'm sure we're going to see because we struggled with it last week. But you know, and then they do a nice job mixing in their nakeds and their shot plays off of it. And so I think that they've got a good identity as far as who they want to be, and they were able, you know, with a schedule early in the season, kind of getting a rhythm, and they've done a nice job. And Bohannon, I credit him because, like I said, I think he's taking care of the football, and he's playing within himself, and he's a good runner too, and they've started to use him in that role the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you talked about fewer possessions, and obviously you guys don't play with a great deal of tempo. I understand, I think, why, but explain your thought process in trying to slow the game down.
Well, that wasn't that we weren't trying to do that on Saturday. They just, you know, we weren't very good on third downs. All right, so we didn't do as good a job getting off the field defensively. And like, I think when they didn't play with a lot of tempo either, they tempoed us a little bit in the red zone a couple times, but they didn't play a lot of tempo. You know, really the only game we really tried to shorten was Oklahoma. That's the only one intentionally that we tried to do. You know, I think that, you know, we'd be comfortable, I think offensively and defensively, and that tended, you know, we'd be, you know, on both sides of the ball, we'd be comfortable with more possessions. But the only one we intentionally, like, tried to shorten the game was Oklahoma.
This efficiency stuff brings me back to the beginning. You said details have to be more consistent with what you mentioned, things that maybe we miss that are important. Are there ones that you think you could improve that would make you more efficient so you could capitalize on fewer possessions?
You talking about as far as statistics?
Issues or matters that have your attention that you need to maximize because that could make up a difference in a smaller.
We've got to do a better job with our outside zone, and we've got to do a better job because we're a good inside zone team, but you know teams do some things to take that away, and we've had some opportunities for big runs on the outside zone, and we're not executing at a high enough level. We had some good ones on Saturday, but not consistently. So we need to do a better job with that. And then we've got to execute, you know, some protection on our shot plays. And then we've got to do a better job of hitting those too, you know, from a quarterback and receiver perspective as well.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thank you all. Have a good week.
All right, so there is Neil Brown at the podium wrapping up his Baylor press conference, taking a look back on Texas Tech, and I can finally close the book on it once and for all and look ahead.
It's time to move forward, Danny. Baylor's next, and I know Coach is doing that at the team, and he's leading the way. So looking forward to this game. I'd like to see how they respond.
We're a 2-3 football team. We haven't put a whole game together. I know our fans are frustrated. I'm frustrated. I can't reason it. And he mentioned that, you know what, games are coming down to the fourth quarter. We've lacked team consistency. We've been tied or ahead in the fourth quarter in all three of our losses. Well, where do we go from here? That's the question. And we are looking for, I think, a little bit more production in the run game. The tight end position certainly helps that cause. And Mike O'Loughlin, in his second game back, put some really good things on film. We're going to talk to him coming up a little bit later on. But we'll go into that room with Coach Travis Trickett when we come back here. The Neil Brown Press Conference Show is brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. So stay with us across the Mountaineer Sports Network.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
I feel like my concerns about the project budget are being overlooked by my consultant.
I feel like my accomplishments at work are being overlooked by my supervisor.
I feel like my community's requests for support are being overlooked by these large corporations.
At Civil and Environmental Consultants, people come first, always, whether that's our clients, our employees, or our friends in the community. It's why we listen intently and work harder to learn our clients' business and make their goals our goals. It's why we prioritize the career development of every individual on our team. And it's why we're invested in the sustainable growth and success of the communities across our great state. People are why we do what we love and love what we do. CEC is an employee-owned engineering and environmental consulting firm that plays a vital role in creating jobs and opportunities for West Virginians. We are all committed to building lasting relationships with the people around us every day. We'd like you to be one of those people. Visit CECinc.com for more. That's CECinc.com.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. You've heard from the head coach. Now, let's hear from a West Virginia assistant coach. Let's go back to the Pushcar Center in Morgantown with your host, Dan Zangrilli.
Alongside Dale Wolfley and Coach Travis Trickett, we welcome you inside the Pushcar Center for Baylor Week. And this segment is brought to you by Farmer Klein and Campbell. Injured in an accident, we urge you to call Farmer Klein and Campbell. They are West Virginia's injury lawyers. Well, Coach, enough with Texas Tech. I know that's one thing that everybody's eager to get in the past and look ahead to Baylor. So I will ask you about Baylor and what you've seen, how different they are from a team that was 2-7 a year ago to what they have been able to put on film, wins over Iowa State and giving Oklahoma State last week everything that they could handle.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And the biggest thing that I'll say this, like, as long as we learn off last week, that's the number one thing. And our room, we got a lot to build off of when it comes to like how to play. And it's a big test this week because now we're going to play a linebacking core that's the best linebacking core in the conference, in my personal opinion. But as a team and as a defense, what they've done maybe different from last year is that they are actually able probably to run their scheme now. Last year they didn't have that big – this defense requires a big body in the middle presence. They have that now. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, too, you know, think about you if you put the shoe on the other foot. If you're them, they're trying to install new defense year one, and then they have to go through COVID. They don't have a spring ball. Summer, you can't get around your players. So you can see, I think there's – and you see that probably across the country. A lot of teams have a marked improvement in year two because of that. But, no, they're playing defense at a high level and looking forward to the challenge.
So as far as Terrell Bernard, he's been out the last couple of games. Neil mentioned that the anticipation is for him to play. Let's assume that he's 100%. He may not be, but when he is, what is the problem that he poses, and how do you try to account for that?
He's a very instinctive and very smart player. But not only that, he's powerful at the point of attack, and he can run. So usually you can't run and be powerful, or vice versa. He can do both. Like, he can take on tight ends, offensive linemen. He can make the tackle in space. He can run down. It's not a mismatch in the pass game. So he's a very talented player. And it shows that, like, he is playing at a high level right now. So when he comes back, we're expecting him to come back, and it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Yeah, he's a baller, right?
He is a guy. No, he's a dude.
And when you put the other two backers, I agree with you about how good they are in the linebacker range for sure. But let's talk about the tight end position. That's your position. And Michael Laughlin's coming on. And I know T.J. Banks has played a lot earlier because Mike was hurt. So where are they at? How's the season going? And just talk about each one of them, if you will, what they bring.
Absolutely. So, you know, I know this last game wasn't what anybody wanted. But I can say within our room, the last three weeks total, especially the last 2 weeks, Mike and TJ have played their best ball yet. Mike is really taking a step from the physical standpoint, being a complete tight end, pass protection. He's been great. Knock on wood. All right. You know, but a run game aspect, he's been physical at the point of attack. He's got more knockdowns in two games than what he's had all last year. Perimeter blocking game, good. I mean, just he understands. He's kind of grown into his body. Mike Joseph's done a great job. He's done a great job downstairs, and so he's playing really good ball, complete ball. And we know as a receiver what he can do. And then T.J. Banks is a guy that's come along too, and had to play a lot more than he's ever played in the first two games, just because of the lack of depth as far as mature depth in our room. But now, you know, now that Mike's back, the complementary ball that they can play amongst each other. TJ's probably had his two best games as far as, you know, executing at a higher level. So they really go together, and it's a good 1-2 punch. And when you get them both on field, they both present different things. But they're both playing physical. They're both playing tough. And that's the number one thing. You know, you are what you put on film. And so we want to make sure when guys see our guys on film that they play with that blue-collar mentality.
Yeah, so for the past few years before you guys really came here, didn't have but one tight end usually. And that was ready to play, and now you have two. It sounds like to me, and what I see, where are you going to keep taking this with this tight ends, and what does it bring to the game for you?
Absolutely. Well, we wish you had more that were ready to play. We got three young guys that are all on their own little paths, you know, and you know, West Virginia's always been a developmental program, so sometimes, you know, that's like that position. You know, you're playing grown men on that defensive line and the linebackers. It takes time to develop that strength and what it needs. But I feel really good about three young guys. The more you have, the more it can allow you to do from a, like, if you want to get in a big personnel, 12 personnel, two tight ends, it allows you to create extra gaps and get at angles and numbers. But also, you get guys in the box. Now you can do what? Take your shot downfield, which we took one in the game, and we're able to have that there and complete it down the field. So it allows you to maybe, you know, show one thing and do another and vice versa, you know. So that's really what that position we want to grow to, and we're on our way to doing that.
Travis Trickett with us. How do you want to use them versus how you may have to use them? Do you sort of understand that question? Because a lot of times you have to use that position for certain purposes, as you just articulated, but as the offense continues to evolve and this team continues to grow, how do you want to use the tight end position?
Well, you'd like to be able to say, all right, well, if we line up in four wide receivers, and it's a good problem to have because we have a lot of talented wide receivers as well. You know, so that's a good thing, is there's one ball and you got all these guys that we try and get on field and get them in position to be successful. But when you're out on the field, if you can line up a tight end at receiver, all right, and present a four receiver set, then all of a sudden hop into a backfield set. Now it's a two running back set. Then he's on the line. Now that's 11 personnel set. Where it's, so the defense has got to make a call now that is sound versus all those variables that you can do. And so that really limits what they can do on defense. And then if you can do that with two tight ends, then it's the same thing. Because that's where I think you see some teams in the league that are able to do that. I know Baylor uses two tight ends a good bit, you know what I mean? But they don't use them in the aspect of, say, maybe what I'm speaking to. So, you know, it's a really neat position to coach. It's a neat position to play. Is the role is growing exponentially here over the last 2-3 years. And it's been a lot of fun to see how that's evolved.
Yeah, it's ultimate wild card position.
Absolutely.
In many respects. Well, Coach, so far so good with the group. And we're going to talk to one of the guys here. And I didn't recognize him at fall camp. I mean, the way that he's evolved. It's like the evolution of man, the evolution of Mike O'Loughlin. Guy is that's a great Mike Joseph success story.
No question. Mike Joseph deserves a ton of credit. Mike O'Loughlin, though, like his commitment and his dedication to his craft and all the extra work he's put in, is really showing off too, and that's, he's a great model for these young guys that we have developing in the room.
Yeah. All right, well, coach,
future too.
He does, no doubt. Stay with us. Mike O'Loughlin is coming up next. That's Travis Trickett. Thanks, coach.
All right, appreciate you guys.
All right, stay with us. It's the Neil Brown Press Conference Show presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Mike O'Loughlin on deck here on MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
Have you been injured in a wreck? You shouldn't have to worry about fighting the insurance company, and it shouldn't cost you a dime. Call attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell, 800-687-5990. We help fellow West Virginians. Ask around. We've probably helped a friend, neighbor, or even a family member. We never ask you for money, and we don't get paid unless you do. Injured in a wreck? Call the law firm you know. 800-687-5990. Attorneys Farmer, Klein, and Campbell. Around here, you matter.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Live from the Pushcar Center in Morgantown, you're listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Alongside Dale Wolfley, here's your host, Dan Zangrilli.
We have heard from head coach Neil Brown. We've heard from tight end coach Travis Trickett. And the segment brought to you by CEC, Civil and Environmental Consultants. Now we hear from Mike O'Loughlin. Back and healthy and out there taking care of business the last couple of games. Like, this is, I was joking with Coach Trickett. Like, if we see the evolution of Mike O'Loughlin, like the before and after photos, it's got to amaze you, because I didn't recognize you at fall camp. Like, I mean, right. You got really big from your freshman year, but then I was like, wait a second, is that O'Loughlin? Yeah, that's O'Loughlin.
Yeah, it's weird when they tell you that. When I first got here, I was talking with Trayvon Wesco, obviously in the NFL now, but he was telling me, you know, it's really a 2-3 year process just to get it done. And I'm like, 2-3 year process? I can get this knocked out in a year, like, you know, throw on some weight, you know. And obviously in high school, everything goes so well. You know, you're just a star at your high school and all that. So, you know, you think everything's going to fall in your lap. Obviously, it didn't happen. But it really is 2-3 years. And you get kind of lost in the work the whole time. And then once you're there 3 years later, you're looking back, you're like, wow, that really was a 2-3 year process. So it's been a while, yeah.
What was your initial impression when they told you that you're going to be a tight end? You're not going to be a wide receiver anymore. And how did you accept it mentally?
It was a new challenge. And I'm a competitor. I love a new challenge. And I knew I was going to be that type of player. You know, I was going to have to be both, you know, blocking and receiving type of tight end, like a Gronkowski. So I knew that off the bat. So when they did tell me that, I was like, you know, you got to learn how to block. It's going to, you know, it takes a while. It's not easy. I didn't do it a lot in high school. I did it out wide. I didn't do it in the box. So learning the box, learning all that stuff, I knew it was going to be a tough transition. But, you know, with some great coaching, it was, you know, an easy adjustment.
What is your caloric intake, or what was it to get to this process? I mean, because it's one thing to get after in the weight room. It's another thing to get after in the kitchen.
Oh, for sure. For me, starting out, it was really difficult. Like, to gain weight, it was really difficult. I never did it in high school. Like, my brother was always the big guy. I was always the skinny, fast guy. So it was really difficult. But it was, you know, 3, 4, 5 meals a day just consistently, you know. But it was really, my freshman year was around 5. And it was taking snacks, you know, to class and all that stuff, just making sure you're always taking in nutrients, you know, those proteins. And especially when I was lifting, you know, twice a day when I was injured, it was just like lift, 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 eat, 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 lift, you know, for 9 months. And that's just, you know, it builds up.
What were you coming in, and where are you at now?
When I first got to West Virginia, first time I got here, I was 210 pounds. And then my senior year, before I actually reported here, I got to like 220 something. So I kind of, you know, helped myself out there a little bit. But now I'm around 255, 260. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people can really appreciate the transition it is from being a wide receiver and then having to put your hand down in the dirt and be in the box. I mean,
right.
That really is a challenge. It really is a step, man. I will say this, Gronkowski, he does make that position a lot sexier.
Yeah, he does.
He did.
He really does.
Some good. So I think you get a lot of examples of what you can become
right.
Through that position at tight end, of not only being in the box for the running game, but you want to go ahead. You want that ball too.
Right, yeah. And there's also some great role models. And, you know, Gronkowski was the first one that really, like, stepped up on stage. But you got Kelsey and Kittle in the NFL now as well, who there's a premium on their blocking as well, you know. Kittle will go a full game, you know, won't get a pass until the fourth quarter, and, you know, he just does his job. It's what the team needs. So.
Hair, who figured it out? Who decided? Where do you go? How do you do it? Like, that in and of itself is a process and a lot of hard work.
For sure, yeah, and especially getting into the body and the frame and stuff, just figuring out how to move again and then learning the game at a totally different, you know, it's a lot. So it takes a while to learn that.
Ever seen Eastbound and Down, the Kenny Power story?
Yeah.
Your inspiration there, perhaps?
Yeah. I actually, this is funny. I after our game on Saturday, I opened my phone and I got a text from my aunt who was the man trip. It took a picture of me, and she's like, gosh, you look like the dude from Eastbound and Down, and put like two side-by-side photos together and sent it to me. So I got a kick out of that. But
well, we've gotten a kick out of you kicking everybody around,
yeah.
Pretty much. And
continue to do so.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's integral into the
I want to be him, though, Dan, because I want him to say, just go ahead and eat all the time.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, who's to say that you don't do that anyway?
I just want to be told to do so.
Understood. Yes, it's acceptable for him. You so much, I don't know.
Right.
All right, well, that's Michael O'Loughlin. Heck of a job here. Back feeling 100% healthy as well, which is so big for the West Virginia Mountaineers. And a big one coming up against Baylor, so stay with us. We'll have our closing thoughts when we come back here on the Neil Brown Press Conference Show.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
It's time for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
All right, we welcome you back here to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show from Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Head coach spoke a little earlier this hour, and basically here's what he said in so many uncertain terms. We're a 2-3 football team. We haven't put a whole game together. I know our fans are frustrated. He said, I'm frustrated, and he said, I cannot reason it, pointing out to sort of doubly frustrate everybody that the game's coming down to the fourth quarter. West Virginia was tied or ahead in each of their three losses in the fourth quarter. So frustrating indeed, and Neil certainly not at all happy about that first half energy still today, kind of harboring some of that frustration. Well, now it's about channeling that frustration into a really good Baylor team that took it to Iowa State and gave Oklahoma State on their home turf, Wolf, everything that they could handle, and they're going to be getting a shot in the arm with a big linebacker coming back in Bernard on Saturday, by all accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, this is what you want. This is what you have in the Big 12. It's a challenge after challenge after challenge. You have that opportunity. So that's all you can ask for as a football player, to go out there and do your best. And then if it doesn't happen, you want another shot at another big team. Well, here it is, and it's the Baylor Bears this week. And I think this team is going to be ready. I can see they took that loss for sure pretty hard. And I think they're going to use that as motivation to not come out flat.
4-1 Baylor, West Virginia at 2-3. The Bears in conference 2-1. West Virginia is 0-2. How do you go about this, Wolf? Because, you know, you have called upon history in the past. The 1987 West Virginia football season was tough. It was heartbreaking. And there were some very hard lessons that were learned that year. Take us through some of those practices in 1987.
Sometimes when you're there, you're trying to find out who you are. You just got to step up as an individual player. And if I can win my battles, and then your buddy over there can win his battles, then you put them all together and win the battles. That's how it comes. It will come.
It will be a battle in Baylor and West Virginia heading to Waco, where they are all-time just 1-3. Though a couple of years ago, they almost stunned the entire nation on national television Halloween night. Well, we'll see if they could do much of the same coming up at high noon. Mountaineer Sports Network airtime with the Go Martin Mountaineer tailgate show will be 8:30. We've got a podcast at WVUSports.com. We've got Neil's show live from Kegler's Thursday at 6. And, of course, Wolf will join myself and Jed for pregame coverage 3.5 hours leading up until kickoff. I'm Dan Zangrilli. Thanks for joining us here on the Neil Brown Press Conference Show, all presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official cleaning and restoration company of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
When the unexpected happens, it's good to know you can count on the certified professional restorers at Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration. Whether it's fire, smoke, flood, or storm that damages your home or business, you can rest assured that we have helped thousands of families just like yours. With the right people, equipment, and expertise, we are ready to respond 24 hours a day to get you quickly back on your feet.
I'm Neil Brown. When disaster strikes your home or business, tell your insurance provider you prefer the restoration company the Mountaineers call. Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration.
The Neil Brown Press Conference Show, presented by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, continues after this local timeout. This is MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with a friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to the Neil Brown Press Conference Show on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Today's show has been brought to you by Panhandle Cleaning and Restoration, the official restoration company of the West Virginia University Mountaineers, Farmer, Klein & Campbell, West Virginia's injury lawyers, CEC, civil and environmental consultants, hiring West Virginians to do West Virginia's work, CECINC.com. That's CECINC.com. Be sure to log on to WVUSports.com to listen to this program in its entirety on demand. Also, be sure to download the WVU Game Day app, a must-have for West Virginia University fans. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.